part one of our Fox Undercover series, we take a look at a subculture of partygoers who call themselves rebels. They are all over Southern California.
The hair is piled high and emulate film idol James Dean. Pompadours, tough jeans, rolled up t-shirt sleeves, Harley Davidson motorcycle boots and chain, and belt buckle after belt buckle after belt buckle.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Radio Flyer with nonstop service around the world. Heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and now YouTube. Your safety and comfort is important to us, so please direct your attention to your flight team, Freddie Rivera and Michelle Zuno.
There was a scene in the late 90s, early 2000s that involved all-age nightclubs and parties throughout Southern California. Some were backyard parties. Others were the legendary historic Fox Theater in Pomona. Some were legal, some were not. But this was on a more local level and on a level that I personally got to experience. I personally know one of the godfathers who started it all, that threw some of the most successful all-age nightclubs and parties here in Southern California. And I want to personally introduce you to him on Radio Flyer tonight. My name is Freddie Rivera. And on the blue mic, Michelle Zuno is here. And first time on Radio Flyer. The man who started it all, ladies and gentlemen, Joel, a.k.a. Mr. Clean. Woo! And then in the background, of course, is my bigger broski from another Moski, Carlos Bones. CJ.
What up?
There was a scene heavily influenced by the dance scene in the 1980s and the early 1990s. There was a style that the men would wear. It was very James Dean-esque. Harley Davidson boots, you would slit the jeans on the outside so it could fit the boot better. The girls would wear knee-high go-go boots, and some of the music that came out of that scene and defined that scene. There was actually a dance to this, too. Remember this? Such a dream, such a dream, such a dream,
such a dream. A ver, a ver, a mover la colita.
And this?
Dame un café con leche, mami. Dame un café con leche. Dame un café con leche, mami. Dame un café con leche.
I always sing this song. But you get the point. So there was a scene. It was house music. Specifically, it became hard house music. And a lot of great DJs and talent came from this era. And Joel was one of the godfathers. So Joel, how did the scene even begin, or how did you get started in the scene?
Well, the scene was ready here before I got here, of course. But Rancho didn't have a scene. Rancho was it's kind of like the OC. We started getting there like virgin locations.
Right.
What that means is instead of using the same Boys and Girls Club, everybody was tired of that. Mm-hmm. So when I started looking for locations, I made sure no one ever used it. Mm-hmm. So it was a brand new venue. Mm-hmm. Could I sign for it? No, I was 15 years old. Every event that we did, we sold out. I mean, over 2,000 kids strong, you know.
So these venues were able to house 2,000 people?
No.
Okay. Not exactly.
No, fire department comes, it's 490 people.
Yeah.
We did it to where you're like rubbing elbows and everybody's touching their sweat.
I know, that's how
right now
was,
right
yeah.
Now it would be like no one's going because you know, with COVID and all that.
Right.
But back then you came out drenched.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when I went to 51, it was I was dropped off and there was a line mm-hmm. of people. And if you could vision this, there's an old theater, the old fashioned theater. Right. And then there's a giant line that starts in front of the theater and it wraps around the entire block of people just wanting to get in here. And everyone is dressed up. I mean, you got go-go girls here. You got guys in Harley Davidson boots and belt buckles there. Yeah. Here's what really set it off for me. And then just what I remember is, there was a bat signal in the air. Literally, there's searchlights like a car dealership, except this was on a Friday night. And you knew about something happening because the flyers were passed out at your school. Yeah. And you saw that DJ Irene was performing or this person was performing. So when you were driving towards the location, you're already excited. But then you look up in the air and you can see the spotlights getting closer to you. I mean, you guys went all out. You guys rented the spotlights. Yeah. You got the biggest DJs. Where did the money come from?
we would go into the event with no money. Like, literally, we don't have the money to pay for anything. For the DJ, for the location, until the crowd starts showing up.
Wait, so you would call, like, the Fox Theater, and you'd talk to the manager, and you'd be like, hey, look, have faith in us that we're going to pull the crowd.
Yeah. I'll give him a small deposit. I'd be like, you know what? I'll give you $200. Book me that night. He would say, I need $1,500 or $2,000 when you show up. But at the time when I show up, I'm so busy. Like you said, you went into your Club 51, right?
Yeah.
My thing was always to do a base bottom. It's called a wall of like maybe 20 base bottoms of 18s. So when you come in, you're coming like, boom. You're coming in, you're like going back.
Yeah.
Because a beat is going so hard. Mm-hmm. That's why, for me, sometimes it's hard to hear sometimes. Because I just stick my head inside the the speaker, go crazy.
Yeah.
And end of the night, we would raise $8,000 to $13,000 and pay everybody off.
And by the way, you were not even 21 at the time yet.
No, I started signing contracts maybe about 15. Mm-hmm. And I knew already when I signed the contract that they can't hold me to that $2,000 because I'm a minor. I already knew that. But what I always did is bring somebody with me that was over 18. But I would tell them, look, only if I need you, you're going to come in, but I don't need you to talk.
Got it.
I'm doing the talking, and I'm doing the signing. More likely, these guys are not going to ask me if I'm 18.
Yeah.
They just want the money overhand.
Yeah.
So I would sign out of 20 venues that we did. Every single location got paid. Because our crowd, we would sell out. You got to think about it. We had 100 heads just in our crew. I had 10 DJs. We were a party just without the party. If there's 100 heads times five people that they're going to invite, that's 500 people already.
So describe what a party crew is for those who weren't part of the scene. What were the party crews and what was, the purpose of them?
Back in the 90s, you're going to be a cholo, right?
Yeah.
Or you're going to hang out with rebels.
Right.
You pick your poison to say, right?
Right.
So for us, partying and dancing and hanging out with girls is a lot better than getting shot at, right?
and better dressed, too.
Right. And better dressed.
Yeah.
And the prettiest girls, too.
Yeah.
There was a time in high school that I shaved my entire head and I had bleached bangs.
I remember the bleached bangs.
Like Fernando Vargas, the boxer.
I totally remember your bleached bangs.
It didn't last that long, but I pulled it off.
See, he even tried to be in a rebel, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Not you, Freddie.
Yeah. About Vargas?
Yeah, he did.
What was your first event that you threw?
Was called Who Came to Party. And Who Came to Party was in San Bernardino. But that flyer was really nice. Say back then, everybody would take pictures.
Yeah.
Like there would be magazines and we'll take and cut and put them on a flyer. So on that party was called Who Came to Party. If we had a picture of you, you were on it.
Yeah.
All your friends were on it. So like from different areas.
It's a montage of just different people.
What you just said.
Yeah.
And that was our opening act, pretty much, you can say. When we did that, that brought in everybody because...
That's smart because now everybody feels included.
What you just said, everybody's included.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People from Ontario, people from Moreno Valley, different crews that had different of their followers. I made sure they were on the flyer. And that night, I was kind of like nervous, like, what if nobody shows up?
Mm-hmm.
Once we get there was a line.
Yeah.
A line of like 100 people.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Oh my God.
You know, we better not mess
this
up.
This is really happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People is giving the money already. I'm like, we don't even have a register.
Yeah.
You know, we were too worried about setting up the speakers and.
Did anything go wrong that night, being that it was your first event?
You know what? Nothing went wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like, no matter how crazy the scene was, and we know it was crazy, that you were simply just meant to do what you did?
Yeah, yeah. Right when I was graduating, you know, everybody's going out, oh, I'm going to be a police officer or I'm going to be a firefighter and I'm going to be a nurse. And everybody's like, oh, he's going to be a club owner. And I was like, that's all I know.
Yeah.
Don't know anything else
mm-hmm.
but to organize a club to the T.
Right.
From security down to designing the flyer. That is, I think, the most important thing is designing a flyer. And you got to hook them with something beautiful for them to go. Like you said, DJ Irene, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, oh, man, I want to hear her.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to put something that's going to hook you mm-hmm. on there.
Who would pass out the flyers? Who would you hire people? Or
I always try to make between 10,000 to 15,000 flyers. But we only know between 500 to 1,500 people are only going to probably show up on an event. But we made sure, like, if you're walking out of the club, right, or mm-hmm. a party, Hollywood, you're holding a flyer, right?
Yep.
You're going to your car. We made sure three of our flyers were still on your car.
Yeah, every time they were on my car.
The reason why is, and my boys would be like, hey, Clean, you're throwing money away. I go, nah, bro. We're giving them something to remember and the date.
Yeah.
So everybody was talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you see a billboard, right?
Yeah.
Of McDonald's. Mm-hmm. You know it's exit 31.
Yep.
You already know, oh, exit 31, don't miss it, because mm-hmm. we're all hungry, we're going to get mm-hmm. off.
That's how important the marketing it was and it still is.
It still is. We didn't have Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all that.
Yeah, it was word of mouth.
It was word of mouth, and our promotion had to be very, very rugged. Like, you're getting a flyer, you're yeah, getting yeah. another one. You know what, let me give you another one, give it to yeah. your friend.
But that's an important business lesson that people can still take with them today, is the fact that you would order 10 to 15,000, mm-hmm. 10 to 15,000 flyers,
yeah.
even though you're expecting 1,000 to 1,500 people
yeah.
showing up. And that's how big you need the campaign to be.
Right. Yeah, and to touch on your question, how did we disperse the flyers? We had a meeting, we had 7 chapters, and each one would get like 500 flyers. So if you came from the San Gabriel Valley, there's a couple of schools out there.
Yeah.
You came from Pomona area.
So every chapter had its own neighborhood.
Yeah. All the high schools.
Yeah.
So we had every high school locked and yep. in Inland Empire and the IE. So we made sure everybody had a flyer.
And I think from an outsider looking in, it was an easy transition and a cool transition from house party to mega party.
Right.
Yeah. So we had flyers already for house parties. They just were small.
Yeah.
Or they were underground or hidden, like the underground raves, stuff like that. They had to do it on the low, secret. Everything was a secret. People shouldn't have probably been there. People were, everything was kind of sneaking. So when we can do 100 people at a house party, cheek to cheek, 200 people, once he said, I'm going to put it at this location, it's going to be in this field or this warehouse or this theater. Right. Everybody was like, whoa, could you imagine how many people were going to go there?
Yeah.
So they were already waiting. They're like, I don't want to wait in this long line. I'm going to go now. Everybody's showing up early. And personally, it's like a concert. Like you guys were saying, the speaker was so loud that when I'd go to sleep at night, I could still hear it. I could still ringing. Feel it. It felt like I was
my
like
ears
on a roller
were
coaster.
Too, my after, ears were I remember that night.
Till the next mm-hmm. day, my ears were ringing.
And you know what? It's weird. Is it was the music was so loud. I go to concerts now, and I just feel like the music is never loud enough.
I know.
The bar was set so high,
we're
right?
so
too
used
early.
To it.
Yeah.
But it was a full-on nightclub.
Yeah.
It was a nightclub because my experience was once I got to the front, you pay to get in. Then you walk through the theater lobby. There's two doors on each side, or you can go up the stairs. There's stairs going up the left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you guys used 51s. Upstairs for VIP only, and that's where the DJ was. So as I would walk through the first floor lobby to the main dance floor, it looked like the chairs were literally just gutted out. And there's a slant on
the
floor because it's a theater. There's a slant that leads towards the stage.
I remember.
And that entire slant where the chairs are supposed to be is where everybody's dancing and partying. And I looked up to my right. You know, where like the VIPs would normally sit for a show, and that's where the DJ was with the host. And I thought, that's freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a DJ in high school, you know, and I was like, that would be dope. I would love to DJ for one of these events.
Yeah.
You guys worked with some of the biggest DJs that are huge, still huge today. Richard Humpty Vision, a big shout out to him because you guys, who did you work with?
There was one of the, I think to this day, he's the biggest promoter in LA. His name is John Pena.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he's a good, very good friend of ours. He did not work with nobody in the IE, but he worked with us because he's seen the quality of the events that we did.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up merging with him in Pomona before there was any clubs there. It was 2nd Street was dead
in Pomona.
Pomona, mm-hmm. It was dead. We would go there because there were thrift stores. Okay, so that's where we get our ripped up Levi's. Our they call them fruity shirts, but those type of shirts. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So they were like tight shirts. Yeah. Roll the sleeves up a little bit.
But
yeah,
think James Dean.
James Dean. Yeah. James Dean. Elvis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Marlon Brando.
Yep.
The hair.
Yeah.
I go visit my cousin right here, Bones, in Pomona, and I told him, I'm picking you up. We're going to go thrift shopping. So we're walking down 2nd Street, and we're walking to one of the thrift stores. And I'm looking at this club that's vacant, looks like vacant for 100 years with dust and everything. It's called the Yesteryear Nightclub. And I go, this would be the spot. It's nice. It's kind of like a vintage style. Nobody's ever got it. I couldn't get it, you know, because the owner, you know, like I said, I was only 17 years old, 16. They wanted to talk to somebody that had money and
an adult.
Somebody you could trust.
Yeah, not a kid.
Not a kid, exactly.
Are you guys?
So,
not a 14-year-old guy.
I brought his cousin,
14-year-old cousin.
Yeah. I brought it up to John Pena. He goes, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And when I heard that, I was like, is he going to run off with our share?
Yeah.
I just know this guy's coming out. He's coming out on Fox 11 from all the big events he used to do in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We do it. We merge. And we do a club called Good Times. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's a club to this day, all ages, that will come close to it. That club right there, we had Big Boy. When he was Big Boy, you know what I mean? Linwood, all the Hall of Fame DJs you can think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was strong enough to get the location. And 80% of that crowd was our crowd. During the summer, we would have Power 106 there and bring the ice cream van.
Yeah, because back in the day, they had the ice cream van.
So we would literally have a line from one street to the end of the street to the railroad.
Yep.
Literally, that's how long. You had to wait 2-3 hours to get in. And while you're in line, we're throwing ice creams at people.
Okay, the kids.
And kids are eating ice cream. What you want, Klondike bar, or you want the strawberry with the crumbs?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So while they're waiting, we're not losing our money.
Yeah, yeah.
Because each one's $10 a head, right? Then they start using the glass house.
Which still exists, by the way, right?
I remember the glass house.
Put it like this. Without us, there ain't no glass house. There ain't no 2nd Street because there was a magazine up in, I think, in the Bay Area or San Francisco, because San Francisco had like the number 3 best party spot versus Hollywood. Pomona came out number 1.
Wow.
On 2nd Street because of us putting that event every week, every Saturday, sold out.
It was a nightclub for all ages.
Mm-hmm. All ages.
Would you ever turn anybody down because they were too young or too old? Or I mean...
No.
Nah.
No.
Your mom can come, too.
That's wild, though.
My mom used to collect the money for us.
My mom
used to drop me off all the time.
See, my mom wouldn't let me go.
Totally drop me off.
I had to beg my mom to go to 51, and there was that one time I got, and I'm so happy I got to experience it. Who was the biggest bill that you hired, performer or DJ?
It's funny. I had Slowpain. He does... old school, you know, he just died, I think, last year. Rest in peace. But he came out with that song, was Baby OG, because he was doing the Lowriders shows.
Yeah, but he had a big hit at that time.
That one right there, that was his hit, right there.
Definitely remember that.
See that right there? Before he was famous. Getting played
by these freaks. So Slowpain, you hire the guy, how much did you pay him?
This is how, like I said, we have no money.
We didn't that day.
Okay.
He
was doing a show in Seattle, and he's coming down on the airplane. I guess commercial.
He's literally on tour.
Yeah, he's on tour. Okay. So one of my friends gives me a number. He says this guy can be one of our performers. I go, shoot me the number. Called him. He asked for a certain amount. I go, don't worry about it. We got you. Before that, I went to his house in West Covina. And he had like about 8,000 flyers of the CD cover.
Yeah.
And he had nobody to promote it. And you know what I said? If you give me a discount, I'll make sure all those flyers get promoted everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We had 100 kids.
That's awesome.
Promoting his theme.
Yeah.
The night of the event, he shows up with his crew. And there was his best friend. His name was Pet Bull. He goes, where's the money? Like, we want our money. I was just like, I'm sorry, bro. I'm not doing business with you. I'm doing business with Slowpain. And Slowpain, because he was really cool, you know, real soft-spoken, you know. But when he got on the mic, he was an animal, right? Yeah. And I told him, you know, that $2,500 we talked about, how about I give you $300? I lowballed him. And he looked at me. He goes, "You serious? You made me drive out here for that?" And and everybody, the rest of his crew, they're all gangsters, right? They're all looking at me. I was like, I think I'm going to get beat up in here, right? I was like counting my blessings right there. I was like, okay, I haven't got beat up yet. I was like, you know what, bro? I only got like 700. So I started hustling. I'm like, I hustle everybody else for discounts, for flyers, for the security, for so on, right?
Yeah.
I go, bro, I just promoted you about 1,800, 2,000 flyers.
Yeah.
You didn't have to pay for none of that. Because you know what? You're right. I'll give you 500. He goes, give it to me. And then his friend Pitbull was like, nah, you never do that for 500 for nobody. You didn't even do it for us. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So, yeah. So he really liked me. So he went on and performed that hit song that, you know, that put him on the map.
Mm-hmm.
We sold that event out. It was at the Boys and Girls Club in San Bernardino. The whole basket, it's a full giant basketball court. Yeah. Giant. And we had the whole thing from the stage all the way to the back, like bumper to bumper, you can say.
Yeah.
Where would you get the equipment from?
There was two companies that are entrepreneurs too. They're in the scene. One was called Trust Audio. They were from Rebel Soul. They were one of the originals out here in the Inland Empire. And there was another guy named Steve Stutters. Sometimes I have to merge them because my thing was I wanted to do the wall. Yeah. A wall.
You're talking about a wall of speakers.
Wall of speakers. Yeah. Because that's just, like you said, you come in and you're like, boom, bass.
Yeah.
All I want is bass.
Your whole body and clothes shook.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
The fire department would come in and be like, what the heck?
Yeah, because what about sound code, right? I mean, there's got to be a certain level where you can't, you know, go past.
You know what? What I used to do, I was head of the game. Like I am to this day, right? What I would do is I would go to the city. What any other promoter wouldn't do, I'll go straight to the city, planning.
Uh-huh.
I'm 14, 15 years old, and what I did is get a card from the supervisor. That's all I did. I go, I'm doing a fundraiser. It's just donations. Oh, you can do it. It's no problem. You don't need no permits. So I found a loophole. So I ran with that. So they would call the police. The music was too loud at an event. Police would come, say if it's Fontana, Colton, Pomona. I was like, I got this. I got the card. I got supervisor from the planning.
Yeah, and you show the card.
I go, you see this right here? We're good.
Yeah.
Because it's a donation.
Mm-hmm. And they see the name and they'd be like, okay.
Okay. I go, I did my homework before the night. Then, you know, you see the guys in blue all like, damn, we can't do nothing. Jump in their car. I'm like, yeah. When they leave, I'm like, beep. You know what I mean?
Joel, but you were a kid. How did you know to go down to the city and get the business card? I mean, that kind of mentality is, I can't think of a 15-year-old that's thinking that way. Why were you thinking that way?
Why? Because every event will get broken up.
Yeah.
And I had to find a way around that because certain cities are very delicate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason because I wanted the event to last and I didn't want to be in front of a judge paying for ticket because I've been there.
So it really was trial and tribulation. Each event you threw, you gained a little more knowledge and experience.
Yes.
And that's when Good Times, which was probably the longest running, most successful event and club that you and your crew did, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the longest ever.
We also did, right there at that location with John, we also did, that was the first battle. And that's when Bad Boy Bill battled Humpty Vision there.
Michelle and I were talking about this too, because how big of a scene was this? Was this only for the Southwest region of the United States? Because I know Tucson, Phoenix, San Jose, San Francisco, they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a lot of party crews. Mm-hmm. It was TYO, Rebellious, Rebel Empire, Red Alliance. I mean, the list goes on. I'm just, you know, I'm name dropping now, but you guys were probably one of the most prominent crews.
Right.
It was a business.
It was a business.
That's
at the same token, a lot of us were real close. It was a brotherhood.
It was a brotherhood. Well, there was over 300 something of us.
Oh yeah, there was. Everybody was getting burned in. You're a young one.
And by burned in, tell me what that was like.
pretty much.
Michelle, turn his mic. Thank you.
pretty much how that happened was say you say Bones goes
let's see that.
Bones will be like, I got a good guy, his name is Freddie. He wants a party. He has a fade already. And I'll go, okay, he needs get some Harleys and he can kick it with us for like 2 weeks. Uh-huh. We will decide within the whole crew, like 50 of us. What do you guys think? Are you guys cool with him? And I would never decide just me, yeah, you're in. I would let the whole crew decide because that's the way I thought it was fair.
It was a real democracy.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
when democracy existed.
Existed, exactly. Then after that, you'll get burned in, you know, 10 seconds.
So by burning in, you get like a hanger, hanger or what?
It's branded. You're branded.
Yeah, it's a cigarette.
Okay.
A cigarette, and you get it on your arm. Your best friend, the one that brought you in, if it was Bones, he's the one burning you in 10 seconds. And he's responsible for you. If you mess up, hey, Bones, I need to talk to you, bro.
You guys still got your marks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all of us. Yeah. And that was the way to get in.
And everybody kind of adopted that because there's a lot of guys from other crews. They all have it.
That brings up something else I want to ask. The success of the scene and the money, but there was also the other side of the sword, and it was the violence, and one gang on another, and it became less about the business and more about the crews. Was it always that way, Joel, or did it progressively get worse?
Just like a car club, a biker club, uh-huh. and like gangs now, they never start for violence or anything like that. They're for a purpose to protect their city, but then numbers get bigger. Other cities come in.
How is the let me ask an honest question.
Yeah.
You're still a young kid, but you're doing all these events, successful, you have a lot of power, you have a lot of clout. What is your mindset like during this time? And are you able to control the ego? I mean, like, how,
you know, that's a tough question. You remember, you're young.
Yeah.
And you want to be cool. It was hard. It was hard because you want to be the best. You have the best event. You have the best girlfriend. Mm. There's a celebrity. And it is because anywhere you go, everybody knows you.
They knew Mr. Clean?
It was a little tough because sometimes you would be cocky and sometimes, you know, you wouldn't. But you knew that you had that power.
Mm. How many fights did you get into?
We never lost one, and never lost one. That's all that matters.
That's all we're gonna say. Flawless.
Like the Mortal Kombat, right? Yeah. Flawless victory.
Exactly.
51. That was the event I went to.
Okay.
Why did that happen? And why was it just was it just a one off, or was it something that was supposed to happen every week?
It started from one of our friends passing away, mm-hmm. named Bo. 51. He was at my house a week before he passed away. Him and Playboy. I actually played a big prank on them, right? They were getting drunk. So what I did is I put some of a green tea that makes you go to the restroom. Hey, I don't drink. And they got me messed up. And I was like, oh, man, these fools want me to go party. And I'm like, I don't want to go party. I just want to chill. So I get them back by doing that. I go, this is going to sober you guys up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what happened was they're in my house, just in the restroom, like, oh, what school did you give us? It's not sobering us up. I was like, I don't know, man. What's going on? You know, I played stupid, right?
You must have drank too much.
Yeah. 2 days after, they invite me to go to the creek to go swimming. And I was going to go. But I got a gig because I still had all my DJ equipment. I was doing a 21 and over, and I'm not even 21 and over, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm spinning at an old man's club, right?
Okay.
And so I'm taking care of that, setting that up, and I told him, you know what, I can't go. So they end up going to the creek, and our friend drowns, uh-huh. and he passes away, 51. Mm. And that's where it started. So I go, you know what, I'm going to come out of retirement.
Was the creek here in Rancho or
Sapphire Falls?
Sapphire Falls?
Yeah. All the way up.
We used to go up there. There was a point we can go up there and, you know, have a drink or a Mac with your girl.
Yeah, and look at
the
view.
It was really nice too.
Really nice scenery. Yeah.
Like, it used to have really good like waterfalls coming down at the time, and a lot of people would go hiking up there.
Yeah, that waterfall she's talking about is where a couple of my friends were horsing around in the water, mm-hmm. and that waterfall was pushing my friend 51 underwater, mm-hmm. and one of my best friends named Marty. He's small, so he couldn't get him out. So he got all scratched up by my friend. So he ended up passing away, drowning there, because it's about 3 miles to the car.
Yep.
Uphill.
Yeah.
That happens. You know, I get wind, so I go over there and find out. He's kind of was like an orphan. 51.
Okay.
So his mom was not around. Nobody was around for him. That's why I accepted him, because, you know, he had nobody. That happens, and I organized a car wash. Bro, we made $13,000. Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
So I come out of retirement just to bury my friend. Mm-hmm. Everything was paid for.
So is that how 51 came up?
That's how 51 started. To answer your question, you want the origin of it? Mm. That's where it started from. Because we loved him so much, because mm-hmm. he was the first one to put, because me and him were supposed to go get this big tattoo of TYO. And we end up not going, because we end up going out with 2 girls. So we thought that was priority. I get to the location where our friends are at. He comes out and he puts this big TYO on his back. Really huge, mm-hmm. really huge on his back. And I look at my cousin, I go, I don't think we can ever boot him out. And I was close to it, because he did some funky stuff, and I was like, he got the green light, he can't get out.
He earned his 51 name, for sure.
Yeah, he was kind of like out there, you know, kind of crazy. So,
like crazy as in what way?
Well, they used to call him 5150.
Oh, right.
But 51 for
sure. Yeah.
Him and I were really close. As a matter of fact, besides partying with him, besides hanging out with him as a friend, he was also my sensei in Taekwondo. Oh. So I saw him every flipping day, like every single week I was with him.
He was our mercenary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We had a group of mercenaries.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It was him, AK. There was a group of guys who were all into martial arts for fighting. But when we used to get in fights, I'd be like, where's the mercenaries?
Yeah.
I couldn't find them.
Trust me, they could fight, because he had a black belt a few degrees in.
Yeah, he was special.
Special, right. For sure.
And
So 51 was in honor of Bo.
Yeah.
Yes, the club that you went to was in honor of him. And
that was a successful night. I mean, that was a line wrapped around
the block. He knew a lot of people.
Searchlights. I mean, you had some big DJs there. It was wild, because I saw a lot of classmates there. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was my first experience. And it's something, the bar was set just, it's probably too high for a kid my age, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a wild night. And I will always remember 51 at the Granada Theater, trying to get my mom to let me go to any of these events. And so finally, when she, I'm glad that I was able to go to 51 and experience it and have that be my first. Was life going too fast? You were super young. I mean, did you feel like it was?
You know, it's so funny. It's like we're working the line. We're making sure there's no violence.
You're wearing multiple hats.
And we're making sure our guys are not getting into any other trouble. It always started over a girl, you know, with another another group of guys, you know. Yeah.
What would you guys do when a fight broke out at one of your clubs?
I'll answer that question, Carlos.
Security.
Okay. What I adopted was I look for the best, toughest security. I look for the biggest guy I can find. Mm-hmm. I'll interview the security. If I knew you were small, I'm like, they ain't going to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
I go, if you brought a guy that's like 6'6 and 400 pounds, okay, do you got more of those?
Mm-hmm.
What I did is hire the baddest security that can be. I recruited them into my crew, into the young ones.
Yeah.
Huh. That's smart.
Okay, what I did is like, I talked to the main guy. Main guy was probably about 23 years old. I go, listen, if you get into my crew, every event is yours. And that guy goes, that's not a bad idea. But I told him, now you got to get burned in. And so now I had him. The security was from our crew. So I made sure I had no problem with security. I never had to touch my hands.
Right.
None of our events. I was on the clock. None of my events got broken up, because I made sure we had 10 security guards. Our buddy had 3 off-duty police officers. I had nothing to do with it, but like I said, I got to find a way where it's bulletproof, and if these guys come in here thinking they're bad, like these little thugs, they're going to go to jail.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They got real handcuffs, and they got real guns. Yeah. So I had it to the T.
So you were running this like you were the governor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, exactly. Like if you watch that movie Mobsters, Lucky Luciano,
mm-hmm.
the way he ran it, that's the way I ran it.
You had a little bit of everybody.
I put it to the table. What does everybody think? Do the cops need to get paid off? They didn't get paid off. Do the city get paid off? They didn't get it paid off. So we pay everybody. Everybody's happy. Uh-huh. The end of the day, that's all that matters. Yeah. We just wanted to have a good time. We're not getting broken up.
Yeah, and it worked. It worked. They went all night. Like, these places went all night. They never really got raided and broken up.
You come in, they're scanning you with the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like that, right? If you got something, it's coming out.
Yeah.
Yep.
If it's weed, it's coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had, like, those big 55-gallon trash cans. Mm-hmm. Well, full of stuff. Lighters, drugs, yeah. This. I made sure no kid was going to get harmed in my time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even my friends that are older than me, mm-hmm. I was always watching over them. And that's why I always had the best security.
When you look back at that, do you feel like all of it happened in the blink of an eye? Or do you feel like it lasted a good while?
You know what? Right now, it was a blink of an eye, but at the time, it was ongoing.
Yeah.
We did maybe about 20-something events, and every single event, we're talking about $15,000 25 years ago. Uh-huh. And if you do the math right now, okay, a house back then was about $95,000. Mm-hmm. That same house is $500,000. Mm-hmm. So that $15,000 back then is probably $35,000 right now. Mm-hmm. So I had to come up with that type of money at that time, at that age, if you think about it.
Yep.
That's what is equivalent to it. And you know what? Everybody got paid.
Mm-hmm. What was your biggest or what was your most successful event, if you had to pick one?
Wow. I have about 20. I have
20. Behind the Green Door? That was an early one.
You just hit it behind the Green Door, three. There was a girl named Michelle, not this Michelle. Another Michelle, in Etowanda. She used to tell me, my uncle owns a club, you know. And I was like, man, you just want to talk to me. And I'll go, okay, give me the address. Damn, this place is beautiful. So we end up doing that event. We end up selling it out.
Behind the Green Door?
Behind the Green Door, three. Because we put, before 9 o'clock, any girls with green G-strings, get in free, baby.
I remember.
So I had the cuties. Put it like this, I had the cuties and every other crew that didn't like us.
Yeah.
There are girls in there with green G-string.
Yep.
We sold that event out.
Not a bad job to have.
That event right there, that flyer that I designed that flyer, and it actually came out in front of the Daily Bulletin, the newspaper. In the front of the newspaper, they were going, how these underground parties spending so much on flyers. And that flyer was in front of the front page.
I remember all of those.
That's parties. That was behind the Green Door.
I made it on one flyer, and it was my own party that I threw. So, Joel, this is going to be a question for you and Carlos. Looking back, if you did it all over again, what would you do differently, knowing what you know now?
I wouldn't stop.
You wouldn't stop.
I would have kept going.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a good decision.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Because it's in you. It's in your blood. It's in your DNA.
And you know what? I was thinking about that today. I'll go, you know what? Rancho needs this area. Needs like a sports bar.
Yeah.
With, you know, you can eat some hot wings, watch a game. And if you want to dance, we got the DJs. We got the music. It's in behind my mind.
Yeah.
And I think I am going to tackle it.
Well, you two, I know you guys both have birthdays that have been recent and they're close together.
Best. We have a surprise for you guys, too. What? You guys both had a birthday.
We always celebrate our birthdays
recently.
So we
brought a cake to the studio.
Yes. Yes, I just started my diet. I can bake it.
Happy birthday.
Yay. Happy birthday. Joel, Carlos, thank you for being here. Thanks for coming to the studio. I appreciate it.
Sure.
They are like family to me, so I want to introduce you to them because Michelle, I mean, you know, everybody knows me and you. We go back, and I go back with you guys too. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, man. You know, one thing I got to say too, kids, I told Freddie when I first met him, I said, dude, what do you want to do when you get older? And he told me he wants to be on the radio. This is what he wants to do. He's the only guy I could say that probably went after it and accomplished, you know, what you want to do. So big ups to you, my man.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
And something I want to say, that me and Carlos had a little situation one time at church, but we always iron our stuff out right away. Uh-huh. I would set up the DJ equipment, right? You know, for anybody to mix.
Yeah, yeah.
And one day, Mr. DJ, is okay to say Froggy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. DJ Froggy.
Okay. Uh-oh. He gets on my turntable, right? And he's spinning, and I'm looking at you. I'm like, he better not break a needle. No, he's good. You're good. You're good.
They're expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. I go, he's okay. That's what it's there for. And I always been, you never know what somebody has. And I walk away, whatever. Somebody brings attention. He goes, I think Carl's going to beat up Freddie. I go, why? Because he's going to break the turntables. I go, no. I call my cousin over. I go, come over here. I go, look, listen, he's a youngster. You never know what he can do.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And look at you, bro.
Yep.
I defended you.
He stuck up for you.
When you're knowing it. You're knowing it.
You're like the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Too, man. Like, I had just came out of a dark place around that time. And just fresh out of, I'll say it, you know, I came out of juvenile hall. You know what I mean? And I just saw you just scratching away all my damn records. And I'm like, who the hell is this dude? I'm like, give my hardest to get that record, you know? And, but, you know, like I said, my boy here being big brother always and giving good advice and, you know, got to meet one of my best friends, you know, like a brother to me.
this youngster might have some talent.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, who is this kid?
Yeah.
Oh, and then...
Put it like this. If I was rolling with the crew at the time, you would have been part of the crew.
Yeah. Right away. You know, it's funny because we were... from such different backgrounds, you know, and I don't think that we would ever have been naturally just became friends like that, you know, and but because of the church, because of the platform where we met, we became bigger than just friends, became brothers and family, and but there's a commonality, there's a common denominator somewhere, and when you find that, it's a cool freaking thing, you know.
You gotta love people.
Yeah.
People,
if you don't love people, you can't do it
for sure.
Well, let's give it up for Joel and Carlos, first time on Radio Flyer. That is it. That concludes this episode of Radio Flyer. Joel. And by the way, tell everybody what your nickname was back in the day.
Oh, they call me Clean.
Hey, give it up for Joel.
Yeah.
AKA Clean. Of course, Carlos Bones, which, you know, it's so funny because every time we're hanging out, you have like 13 names, bro. Like, which one do I call
CJ,
you tonight?
CJ, Carlos, Bones.
You know, I usually don't do this, but I did it for my boy right
here. Look at him.
I appreciate Joel, yeah.
Usually I charge for these interviews.
I actually, for sales, they actually asked me to do like an infomercial.
Yeah.
That wasn't my thing, you know what I mean? But for Freddie, man, we'll do anything.
Is this how Freddie got you? We don't have the money right now. However, after this, we got you.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode. My name is Freddie Rivera on the Blue Mic. Michelle Zuno, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, Radio Flyer is on every platform that plays podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, now YouTube. You can follow me at Freddie Rivera, and then Michelle's at official Michelle Zuno. Full recap at FreddieRivera.net. And Joel, close out the show because I never figured out how to close out my own show. So just tell everybody thanks for listening or whatever you want
to
say.
I would like to do it like Kobe did, drop the mic, but can't drop the mic here.